Around the World with Malcolm Hohenlein. We're very pleased to welcome Louis Dujeric-Gros, who is at the Washington Institute. He's a French career diplomat now at Washington Institute to help us with a story that has several twists. New Chinese aid for Syria sets off alarms in Israel, says one Israeli defense source. We have indications that Chinese experts visited in recent months some Syrian military installations that were damaged heavily during the civil war. Louis, a very good evening to you. What? China's lending money to a gangster and to the Syrian civil war. What do we know about this? And is there a protest? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. And thank you for addressing this often overlooked issue that is Chinese influence in the Middle East. So there are two different pieces of information here. First, an agreement was signed that Syria will receive telecommunications equipment from China. And second, that Israeli sources say that Chinese experts visited Syrian military installations. So let me say that it is consistent with what Beijing has been doing in the region. China provided 5G networks in many countries. It boosted defense ties, especially with Gulf countries and with Egypt. And Syria is definitely interesting for China because it is a low-hanging fruit. The country does not have many options when it comes to foreign aid. Syria is broke and looking to escape U.S. sanctions. And it means that assets are cheap and therefore very interesting for Chinese authorities.
Malcolm?
Does this represent a challenge then to Russia, the Iranian spheres of influence in Syria? And do you see this then as part of a broader strategy by China to increase its presence in the Gulf and in all the areas in the region?
On your first point, the short answer, in my opinion, is that it is too early to say. Many Chinese announcements never materialize. For instance, half of the projects that China announced in African countries over the past decade have never been implemented. China is also a very risk-averse actor. Beijing does not like to go where the security situation is unstable. China is usually not rushing. It is a cautious and pragmatic actor. I'd say overall, Syria is not a priority for China, and the Mediterranean is not either. So it's too early to say, but it's definitely something to look at. You mentioned China's strategy in the region. I think we can draw a comparison between what is being said on Syria and what China is doing in the region. We're starting to see the patterns of Chinese influence, and it often pertains to investments in IT networks and in infrastructures. And I would say that the use of both civil and military assets is a trademark of China's actions in the region. So, yes.
I go to another headline, Louis. After years of blooming trade, this is the Times of Israel, some see Israel-China relationships start to sour. What is the concern in Israel about Chinese investment?
I think it is the same concern that should be the concern of all other countries in the region, is that seemingly inoffensive investment by China often provide Beijing dual use. So investing in telecommunications network might appear as something very simple and very useful in principle. But when you consider that most Chinese companies are either state-owned or state-supported or have legal obligations to cooperate with the Chinese regime, let's say that it puts things into perspective, and it pushes countries to be a bit wary on Chinese in investments. And I guess that's what's happening in Israel.
Malcolm?
Do you see the Haifa port as indicative of a shifting relationship? China is Israel's major Asian partner, and they have great investments in Israel and mutual exchanges. Do you think that there could be a shift on the horizon now?
I think that to the difference of many countries in the region, Israel is very aware of what China can and cannot do. And what China did and is doing in Haifa Port is very well monitored by Israel and the United States in particular. So I wouldn't imagine China investing in a dramatic way, do additional investments in Israel, and I wouldn't imagine the Israeli authorities letting China do it. But this is not the case in many other countries in the region. You've talked about the Gulf. When you look at what China did in the UAE and Saudi Arabia, there is still many, many places where China can go, many investment that it can do. And it's the result of an active policy of diversification by those countries. I don't think that Israel is in the same place compared to other Gulf countries.
And Louis, right now, is this particular problem well understood in the Middle East, or is it still early days about what can go wrong with Chinese investment?
So as I was saying, the big difference is that Gulf countries and Egypt, that you can add to the lot, are willing to diversify. So they are not very inclined to listen to the West, to the US and to European countries when we tell them to be wary of Chinese in investments. That doesn't mean that it's not a problem. And I definitely think that there is more to do in terms of standards or digital cooperation to put a light on what China is doing.
Malcolm?
Can I ask a question about France? And Macron has been very supportive of Ukraine in the war, taking 100,000 refugees. Is this supported by the people in France? Are you seeing some sort of a wavering, or are they ready for the long-term effects?
I would say that most people in France are very supportive of the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian authorities. And the French society and the European society in general is aware and knows that it is going to be something to deal with on the long term, and that the winter especially is going to be very difficult if you look at the drawdown of Russian gas supplies to Europe. So yes, I would say that European societies in general are very, very, very aware.
Just here at the end, I want to collect these two parts, a Chinese investment and the Ukraine war. The recent NATO strategic concept named not only Moscow, but Beijing as an adversary of NATO. Is that an important point when you talk to people about Chinese investment? Do they connect Chinese investment with Chinese military support of Russia?
I think the Ukraine crisis gives you a very good example of what could happen when foreign powers such as Russia or China have leverage.
Right.
What's happening is that Gulf countries are not willing to help us as significantly as we would like, especially on energy markets. So including China in the strategic concept of NATO is a way to include China in the equation and to look forward at what could happen with countries in which China has leverage on. It's the case in Gulf countries, but also in Southeast Asia.
Louis Dugy-Grow is a visiting fellow with the Washington Institute, a career French diplomat. Malcolm Holine, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.